I'm going to record. And it's Parshat Nitzavim.
Nitzavim.
Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Always?
No.
Oh.
I mean, okay, it's always, it's either Nitzavim or Nitzavim Vayelech. A combined parsha or not, but so Nitzavim is always read the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah. It has the mitzvah of Teshuva in it, so it always works out that way.
Wait a minute,
The parsha are set up, so it always works out.
Is that one of them?
Well, the real thing is that we always do Kitavo with the Tochacha 2 weeks before.
Wait.
So Nitzavim is always
I once kept a list. I should go back to it. Where the parsha? I mean, the parsha has, you know, you're going from Rosh Hashanah to Simchat Torah. It's a cycle. The parshas come, whether you want them or not. But there are some that are like I think before Tisha B'Av, we happen to read something Eicha in it.
The three that the Shulchan Aruch says that were set up that way. We do the Tochacha in Devarim before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says this. It was set up that way. We do the Tochacha in Vayikra before Shavuot.
Okay.
Bukhakotai. And we read Verchanan after Tisha B'Av.
Okay, so is this one of the, this isn't one of them. This one.
Well, last week was Kitavo. And we don't have that much left. So it's inevitable that Nitzavim is going to be before Rosh Hashanah. Kitavo is before Rosh Hashanah, but not the week before. It's 2 weeks before. So Kitavo is always, always the second of it is always the Shabbat before the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah.
Kitavo was one of the three. It's one of the big three.
That was one of the three.
Okay, right. So Kitavo with the Tochecha, that's why?
Right. That's the Gemara says. Yeah.
Is before what? Rosh Hashanah. What near it?
That's right. That's before Rosh Hashanah.
And what did you say about Kol HaOlam?
That Kol HaShanah, the year should be over and its curses should be over.
Oh, Kol HaShanah. What's the phrase? Kala what?
Kala shana b'tila teha. I think that's what it is.
Oh, b'tila.
Hi, Davida. Is that why Nitzavim is always before Shana?
Okay. Kala hashana b'tila teha. Hi, Davida.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. The trip was great.
Here we go.
Okay.
Okay.
That would be a nice Rosh Hashanah greeting, except it's a little negative.
Well, yeah, you can actually online, you can buy cards. Well, the complete phrase is Tichle Shana B'Kilotea Tachel Shana U'Virchotea.
Oh, thank
you. And next year start with its brachot.
Tachel Shana U'Virchotea. The what? Zich?
U'Virchotea.
Okay.
And its brachot.
U'Virchotea. That's really nice.
Okay, so
someone had a bad year.
I'm looking. And when you Google that, you can buy your set of cards that say that.
Uh-huh. But it's very negative. It's negative. It's for people who had a bad year.
Well, whatever the year was, the brachot should continue. That's fine. So the way we set the parshas are set up is that we do Tochacha last week. That's done. This week in Nitzavim, which is the mitzvah of Teshuva. And then we have Rosh Hashanah. And
nice.
It all works.
Very nice.
Okay. Not exactly what I'm going to talk about. We're going to look at the Nitzavim. And last week, we talked about the Brit of Arvot Moab. And Hashem got everyone together. This starts out continuing that, where Moshe says, "Attendance of Imayim Kulchem with Nei Hashem Kulchem, you're all gathered here, and here's what's going to happen about if you don't keep the brit." So they, and then I was going to talk about the brit that would happen later in Har Gerizim when they actually enter the land, and what that brit means. They're going to reestablish the covenant when they entered Eretz Yisrael, and it's hinted at in this week's parsha. When Moshe says, "Hanisterot l'Hashem Elokeinu," that which is done secret belongs to God. We're not responsible for secret things. "V'niglot lanu uvanedo ad olam," but that which is revealed belongs to us and our descendants forever. "L'asor kol divrei Torah razo," to do all of this. Part of establishing a government and a state is now responsible for each other.
But you said you had intended, like you're not going to talk about it.
Right. Okay, so it's a little paralipsis here. I will mention it in order to transition to what I am going to talk about. Oh. And if you notice in the Torah, that phrase of lanu vanenu has dots on it. That's in the actual Sefer Torah. Dots in the letter mean, okay, it's like emphasize this. And the Gemara, Rashi quoting Gemara here, nakora lanu vanenu, that has dots on it, lidrosh, make the drasha that it doesn't really mean it now. The apal niglot lo anashe terabim, that there's no communal responsibility. Aisha Abrat Yarden, so they crossed Jordan. Mishikibu Olema Teshuvah B'Har Gerizim. That breed in Har Gerizim was the idea of Nasu Arevim Zelazem. There were guarantors responsible for one another. That didn't happen yet. That was the breed that was coming up. So Rabbi Shulman basically gave my shir last week as pre-mincha shir. That is an ongoing problem. So Rabbi Shulman always wants to know what I'm going to talk about. Because usually, since I do a Gashir before he does, I preempt him. Because he's my Rebbe, and I've learned everything from him, so we somehow end up thinking the same direction pretty consistently.
Danny, he calls me every week, Wednesday night.
Is that right?
That's yeah. Nice. He wants to know what you talked about.
What I? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I usually tell him. He's on the email, too. You can look at it. But, right.
So, oh, he's on the emails.
So this time he actually did it last week, so he preempted me. So I'm not going to talk about the future Brit. I'm going to talk about the past Brit. This week, you know, in Tevet Devarim, we're talking about Brit Arvot Moav, 40 years after they left Egypt. Let's go back to Brit Har Sinai, which is hinted at in this week's Parsha. The original Brit. But the Tochacha that we talked about in Kitavo ends with a reminder that this is the sequel to the previous one. It ends with this comment of Eilu Divrei HaBrit Asher Tzivah Hashem Moshe Lichroz Bnei Israel. These are the words of the covenant, the treaty that Hashem commanded Moshe to establish with Bnei Israel Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav. Milvad HaBrit Asher Kirat Itam BeChorev, besides that which they did back in Chorev at Har Sinai. So this is going to be the Meshech Chachma. We're going to look at the Meshech Chachma, looking at our Parsha and basically looking at Rav Kupperman. I pronounce his name. He has this long commentary on the Meshech Chachma. I've explained Meshech Chachma is very terse. He expands it. That's what we're going to quote. We're going to quote him. If you look at the end of this description about Teni Tzadin, Hashem is going to punish us if we worship other gods. And then he starts to Hilo Hashem L'ra'ah, we call to Israel, and Hashem will separate such a person out from all the tribes, the chol, the brit, like all of the curses that are mentioned in this brit, they're written here in the Torah. And then later generations, your descendants will say, and strangers from different lands will come and they will say, and they'll see how the land was afflicted. And all the illness that caused within the land. Land will be desolate. Read Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad, talking about the Holy Land. Afrifa, Melach, fire and brimstone, salting the earth. I like the term brimstone. Lotizara. Sorry? That's what you said.
I said it sounds like a Rabbi Shulman. He would use the word brimstone.
Brimstone. much more poetic than sulfur. Lo tizara, it's not planted. Lo tatzmiach, nothing grows. Lo yaveva kol esed, not even grass. It's like the destruction of Sodom and its sister cities. Asher afach Hashem ba'po v'chamato, that Hashem uprooted in his anger. And all the nations will come, will see all this desolation in the land, and they'll say, Almas Hashem kachol atzaza, why did God do this to this land? What causes great anger? And then our descendants will answer them, tell them, Asher azu et brit Hashem lokeim otam, because they abandoned the brit that God, the God of their fathers, had made with them. Asher karat imam botiyot tamei tishraim, that he had established with them when they left Egypt. They served other gods. They stuck with heaven and bowed to them. Elohim ashali da'um, gods that they had no knowledge of. Lo chalak lahem, that did not give them any, that give them anything.
Wow. This sounds like that's a nutty more than the Torah itself. I'm used to reading this in the
Nevi'im. Yes. Right. I mean, the end of Devarim very much is Moshe. I mean, that's part of the kind of reading. This is the Moshe as Navi.
Oh.
The one way to read this here. Now, we've had Moshe as Rav, you know, teaching us halacha till now. Here and in Hazino, it's Moshe as Navi. It's exactly that, which is an interesting way, perspective looking at it.
Mm.
Okay. This is Rav Kuberman. Introducing the Meshech Chachma's comments. Kashel Rabbeinu. It's hard for Rabbeinu, the Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha Mitzvintz, is going to have trouble understanding. Madua Tamugayim Amasha Nasel Arat Zavka. Why is he saying that the nations are watching this desolation? Why are they looking at the land of Israel? All right. Ikar Ha'ason B'Masha Nasel Uma Hayisraelit. There's nothing here about what happens to the Jews. The Jews are exiled, they're suffering. That's not what this is about. This is looking at the land, right? The land's being punished. Here the pasuk comes above, and we continue on, in which we didn't quote it, but quoted here, by Yichar Hashem Ba'artahi, God's angry with the land, Levi Aleh, Kol Cholah, that brings the curses, etc., and pasuk of Aleph, Baruch, Makuta Artahi, that Kashet, et, let's not Kasher there.
What is it supposed to be?
No, that's when I scanned it and did the OCR. It pulled something from another column.
Mm-hmm.
There are extra words.
It's supposed to be et tachlueha?
Et tachlueha, that's the quote. Just take that out. It's strange, right? It's a different emphasis than you would expect. So there should be, you know, most of the time they talk about the suffering of Jews, this is the suffering of Eretz Yisrael. And the other question that we're going to look at, and if we're talking about later generations, why is it the Brit that he did with them when they left Egypt? Why not the Brit as they entered Eretz Israel? Right? We had the Tolkot we just had, was at Arba Moab. It was not the Brit that Hashem has set when they left Mitzrayim.
Plus, I mean, it's different people also. Like, the generation that left Mitzrayim is not the same generation. It's different.
Right, and we're looking at, you know, we're talking about what's going to happen way later generations. They're looking back and say, you know what, the land is desolate because they violated the Brit of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And the Meshech Chachma is going to look at and make a diuk there, that he's not talking about because they violated the Brit of Arbot Moab. Okay? So, he's going to look at what was the nature of this Brit Ashtar Karat Imam Hotzi Amatam Yitzhak. What's the nature of that Brit? What's the nature of Brit Sinai? It says the key part of that is that it was made under duress. You know, the famous Agada about Kafa Alem Harki Gigit. Both that first in Surah 7. And so 7, by the same Moshe at the Amlikat Elohim, Merachman, Moshe brought everybody out to the out of the camp toward Har Sinai, Beit Tzvu, Tabatati Har, and they all were set up under the mountain. We had shot at the foot of the mountain, but no Amar Rabba Dimi, Bracham, Brachasa, Melamed Shekifa, Kosh Baruch Hu, Ehalemet, Ahar Kigigit. It teaches us that Hashem, they were underneath the mountain. Hashem held the mountain over their heads like a barrel. Amar lahem, and told them, and Hashem mekablim haTorah, if you accept the Torah, great, dimlav, Shem tiyek v'ratam, you're going to die here. We all know this. This Gemara, Amar of Acha bar Yaakov, says, well, mikan moda rabbalo raita, here we have a great excuse for the Torah, against the Torah, a great complaint against the Torah. How can we be liable if we were forced to accept it? The Meshach Chachma says, this way he starts, Yisrael hayu anusim al habrit.
Israel, oh, anusim, like anusim al pi hadibor.
Yes.
I don't know, I feel like that's the only place I've ever seen that word. Maybe, probably not, it just sounds familiar.
Right. An anus in Nezikin means something that you had no control over. You're not like, you weren't negligent. It just happened.
Isn't it used for rape?
It is used for rape as well, yes. In modern Hebrew. Right. Something that, I mean, it, yes. It's, you are for, something you, for, you have no free will in the matter. You use the word forced to accept this. She must, and what does he say? She must have, they were in a situation, they were wandering in a wilderness. Mitzrayim were rodfim otam, and the Egyptians were chasing after them. And if they didn't have all these miracles of the pillar of cloud and fire and the man feeding them and the miraculous well, they couldn't have lasted even for a day in a natural way. Moshamar Modara is a great excuse there. So he's saying that he's reading Kafel Himahakigidit figuratively. They had to accept God's rules because otherwise they were stuck in the middle of the wilderness.
Wait, he's reading it without the medrash of the word betachtit. He's reading it as a logical thing. They wouldn't describe.
He's reading the Agadata as serious as being, you know, that the God is taking this and he's reading it as figurative, that they were standing under the mountain and would die there, not because he was literally holding over their head, but because they were that they're in a position where if they didn't accept God's will.
Right.
Truthful but not literal?
Yeah, I don't think it's even figurative. I think the opposite. Like he doesn't need the medrash. He doesn't need the word betachtit ahar.
It was as if they were forced to.
The way you read an Agadata is seriously but not literally. So he would say, yes, the Agadata means exactly what I say.
Yeah.
Taking the word tachit as an as though. Okay? I mean think that's the way you would he's not looking at and saying, oh, this is what happened. He's actually saying, this is what Gemara and Shabbos means.
Right.
If you were there, you would not see a mountain hanging in the air. You would see a whole bunch of people in the wilderness who are still surviving. That's miraculous. Mm-hmm. But it meant, it's Moda'ah, that they didn't have a choice, because if Hashem would just let go, they'd be gone. Okay? So, if the deal was under made duress, why should B'nai Yisrael be punished if they violate it? That's the Moda'ah Rabbah. It's a great excuse that you could get against the Torah. But Meshach Chachma says, the specific galut isn't so much a punishment for violating the Brit, in the sense of the relationship between the B'nai Yisrael Hashem, it's the inevitable consequence of voiding the agreement. We had an agreement, right? We serve Hashem, Hashem provides with protection and providence. We stop serving Hashem, protection goes away. What happens when the protection goes away? Your little Israel in the midst of all these other countries, you're going to be invaded. That's the way the world works. You're going to be wiped out. Okay? And he says, attribute this approach to the Rashba. You know, Kuberman's going to talk about the Rashba's teachings, the Ramban. That's talking about the Rambam. My mind.
I know, but he also quoted, Rav Kuberman used it for all the Moshes.
Oh, okay. Rabbi Rav Moshe, and Nachman, and we're going to quote him. So, the Moshe Chachma, continuing what he says, that you can compare it to Rashba. The way to understand what's going on here with Brit Sinai is where the Rashi explains, in Natan Hashem Yitzbarach Ha'aretz Amanat Shish Mubrito, that there is a deal. Okay, purely transactional. Right? God gives us Eretz Yisrael on the condition that we keep Torah. In Cain, Sheyavru, but Sheyavru, when they violate it, Batla Matana, the gift of Eretz Yisrael is gone. To keep into Batla Brit, to Hadra Matana Ashal Aretz, as soon as they violate their side of the agreement, but they still violate their side, God says, nope, you don't get Israel anymore. So this is the Ramban. Only near Lamar, the Mitzchila, Alpha Pisha Haya Lehem Moda, that you could have said initially that they had existed. They could have said no to God. Right? You can't force us.
What is Moda?
Literally, what's the word for a legal document that you could send to the court to test a testimony of some kind. In other words, the image is that Hashem suing Bnei Israel for violating the contract, and the moda'a is their response of, look, we agreed to it under duress.
Oh.
That's the proof of that. I don't know what the right word there in English for a deposition, I think, is the thing I'm looking for. That makes sense?
Deposition is just you take someone's words down and you ask them questions, they give you answers.
Okay, so this is a statement made to the court.
Okay, so it's like a defense kind of, or a... Right.
So their counterclaim is no, it was made in duress. So that they didn't make such a claim at the initial. Right. That the original deal was you keep the Torah, you get Eretz Yisrael. That's explicit in the Torah. And we have Tehillim, Vayitilim, Arsot Goyim, and Tum Kofheg, which is one of those that summarizes Jewish history. God gave them land of the nations, Bamal Umim, and the work of the nations, Yeshua, they inherited it, the seven nations of Canaan. But before Yishmuku Kavu Toratav, in Soru, they should keep his laws and guard the Torah. That was the deal. Hema Matamid Chila Lo Akfu Badavar, and they initially agreed to it. Right? It was, you know, they agreed, it was under duress, in other words, they didn't have a choice in the matter, but they still did, in fact, say yes. They didn't send any, however, translate moda'a, any testimony, any kind of defense against it. They said yes. They said, I've got to write that. Okay. I don't want to print that. Now they said, not to have an ishma. So they violate their exiles in land. The Galu, in Galut, Masruma Adavar, and Yecheskel, will quote the Pasuk Yecheskel, once they were exiled, that's when they present God with their testimony that, okay, look, this is under duress. We don't need to keep it anymore. And that was Yecheskel's Gemara in Sanhedrin. That Yecheskel, so he's in Babel, after the exit of the first destruction of Beit Midrash, Shmuel Amar. So Asar Bnei Adam, the delegation, came before Yecheskel. He was a Navi. He told them, you need to do tshuva, go back to Hashem. Amrulo, wait a minute, why? Eved Shemachru Rabo, a slave who's been sold by his master, Klum Yes Zet Lazet Al Zet Klum. Does either side have any claim against each other anymore? The whole thing's batel. We have no relationship with Hashem anymore. Right. We violated the Torah. He kicked us out. We're done. We can do whatever we want now. And the pasuk itself is, they said, Halo Ruchachem, that what you were thinking, Halo Tia Asher Atem Omrim, should it be like we said, Miyaka Goyim. Let's be like other nations. We should be free to serve stone and wood. We no longer need to keep the Torah because the whole thing has been, whole contract's void. In other words, Brit Sinai was transactional. We talked last week about this Brit Moav was a personal relationship, a commitment of exclusivity, so death to us part. That paganism is, what can you do for me? I'm looking at God, what can you do for me? The gods want what I can do for me. Well, what we can do for them. Brit Sinai was exactly that. We're avadim to Hashem. Read that, and we're a service as slaves. We're getting paid for the work, we do it. We need protection and support. We accept Hashem's sovereignty. It's a very feudal relationship. Right? We're the serfs. We work. They have protection. As long as the deal is good, it's good. So Eretz Yisrael, having Eretz Yisrael, is the wages for Avdat Yisrael. And the truth of halacha is that a financial transaction is valid, even if it's made under duress. That's halacha. Rav Huna, Gemara says, Tiluhu v'zavid. Someone hangs you up by your thumbs, says, sell me your car. And you agree to sell it. If they're threatening you, the sale is valid. Maybe you have to convict the person for whatever crime, but it's only if it's just psychological duress, really nudge you, or they threaten you with bad things. I don't know how long that sale is a valid sale. My time, why? Because the truth is that anything that someone sells, there's maybe some aspect of duress there. I'm hungry, that's why I'm selling my car. I didn't have a choice in the matter. At what point do I say, okay, that invalidates the sale? Because he didn't have some situation that made them sell their personal belongings, he wouldn't have sold it all. So the sale is valid. That's assuming it's a legitimate sale, it's for the right price. If you claim that you're cheated, you know, they didn't pay you, then you can claim you're robbed. You can't claim you're robbed. I didn't want to sell, but I had to. That's not a reason for going back. The sale is still valid under halakha. I don't know what American law says about that. Where the line or duress is. And similarly, Shulchan Aruch says it. Misha ansu ad shemachar v'lakach, someone who is forced, who is pressured until he sells. Lakach the man mekach and took the money. And we're agreeing that it's the right amount. Right? He wasn't cheated. It was not robbed. I feel it's lua ashamachro. If they hang him until he sells, memkaro memkar. That sale is a sale. It's valid. David metalta memakarka. Whether the right word for movable items or as real estate. His nation on so gamar hakhikna, that even though he was forced, he still agreed to the sale. That's the decision B'nai Yisrael has. It's in duress, but they agreed to it. Said, okay, I need to do this. This is good. And halakhi, that's the sale. So that this transaction happened. Meshach Chachma, again, coming back to the name Meshach Chachma, puts it, Jesh Amru, Shebe Et Hotsio Tavim Mitzrayim, Karati Mahem Brit. V'yuchlo Uton Tarat Onis. So that the Brit of, but when they left Mitzrayim, this Brit Sinai specifically, they can claim we're not responsible for it. We have an excuse. You shouldn't punish us. And then as soon as they violate it, though, the actual sale was validated. That's why Hashem is looking at the land. That's why they're talking just about the land. That the galut is because of violating Brit Sinai. Is that our parish is not looking at punishment of Bnei Israel? You're saying that, okay, fine. You're gonna live in the land as long as you keep the Torah. You kept the Torah, we kick you out of the land. That's what our parsha talked about. Sent them to the land, garim ba'aretz lahem, and they will wander in a land that's not theirs. Kayom azeh, that's close to the pasuk. Like this day, shetim mitzrayim, they went out. But Tamlo Shmi doesn't destroy Bnei Israel. That's what our pasuk is talking. That's what our pasukim are talking about. So that. It means there are two models of Brit. One of Ahava, right? Model of the Sinai is the marriage between Hashem and Bnei Israel. or we talked about last week, where it says that Hashem Hamart Hayom, you have designated, you have pledged your trust to Hashem, Hashem Himircha Hayom. And this time of year, we taught, we use the expression Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. That's a Brit Ahava.
So that's like
that's
last
one week. Model for us. We talked about that last week, right? That's one model for the Brit between Hashem and Israel. There's another one based on Yira. Fear, awe. Hashem's more powerful. We need that. That's the Kafal HaKagigit. That's the Brit model that we're talking about here. And then the Meshech Chachma continues to talk about how that's connected to Yitziat Mitzrayim specifically. It's the Brit HaShekarati Mahem, the Tzitzel Mitzrayim Mitzrayim left, took them out of Egypt. That was, the relationship was a Brit between Eved and Adon, servant and master, feudal lord and serf, king and subject. Also obviously relevant to Rosh Hashanah. So that's why the laws of Eved Ivri are so prominent in that Brit. First law that you get after Asherah Dibra, verse 15, Ela Bishpatim Asher Tzimuk Nehem, Yetzik Ne Eved Ivri.
Oh, that's...
Right, because that's what this is all about. When you buy a slave, he's not a slave. In 6 years, that's it. Here's a transaction. And similarly, this is in end of Vayikra, when it's talking about you can own slaves, that's its own discussion, from other nations, but not Jews. Yeah, you shouldn't own slaves, okay? I know that upsets you, so morally wrong. That's for the discussion for another time. But Torah says, you can own slaves from other nations according to the laws of those nations. It says you can buy slaves from other nations. But from your brothers, B'nei Israel, Ish B'Achiv, a man to his brother, Lo Tirdo V'Farach, don't work them harshly, they're not slaves. And similarly, if one is sold to a slave, they need to be redeemed. If a Jew is in slavery and not redeem themselves, via Sabbath and not the Yovel, then they're freed at the Yovel year. Huvanavimo, you leave Bnei Israel Abadim. That's the thing, because Bnei Israel are my Abadim, Abadayim. They belong to me, Hashem says. Asher Tithiham, Yashem Shriam, Ania, Hashem Akechem. They're not slaves to others. That's the exclusive relationship, that's the deal, right? You work for me, I protect you. In fact, Gemara Yerushalmi says the Galut was because the people didn't keep the laws of Eved Ivri, specifically. When the Nenshu Yisrael El Al Parshat Shiluach Abadim. That's what led to the Galut, specifically. And that comes from a famous incident near Miyahu. Oh, let's go that down. We'll look at it now. This is a Devar Shaya El Yirmiyahu Mit Hashem. This was the M to Yirmiyahu. After Titkio, who's the king in the 11 years before the Korban, this is after the Galut of Yoyakim, so this is basically the Babylonians are running the country. Titkio is subject to Babylon, the Babel. And he's established the rule for the country. Asher Yerushalayim, the Korolim Dura, he established freedom for all the Avadim in Yerushalayim, the Shloach Ishet Abadov, Ishet Shifchato, Avriya, send his, that everyone would free their Israelite slaves and maidservants, Chavshin, make them free, the Vilti Avod Bam Yudi Achiyu Ish, that they shouldn't work, they shouldn't make a slave of anyone else. Ashmukhal Sarim, Kol Am, and all the leaders and all the people listening to Shabbo, Bavrit, they all agreed to this. That they weren't going to work, they weren't going to have any more Jewish slaves. You know, from Yirmiyahu, that they would sell people into slavery for debt. They would sell people's kids into slavery for debt, which clearly is against the Torah, but that's what happened. So they decided at this last, they were going to do the right thing. They're doing true. They're going to send everyone free. By as soon as they sent everyone free, they went back by and they went back and captured all their slaves that they had set free and brought them back and impressed them and made them slaves again.
Mm.
Right after this. So that was not a good thing. So So Vayhi Devar Hashem LeYirmiyahu Mit Hashem LeMor, so Hashem told Yirmiyahu, says, Kol Amar Hashem to Israel, thus saith the Lord, Anochi Karati Brit Et Avoteichem, V'yom Hotziyo Otam Me'eretz Yisrael. I had this covenant. When I took them out of Egypt, the Beit HaVadim, they were slaves there, LeMor. And that's what we said. That after 7 years, you have to set the slaves free. They'll serve you 6 years and that's it. And they didn't listen. You know, you've been violating this law for the past 400 years. That was the Brit. Setting the slaves free. Couldn't really be slaves. They're servants. They're temporary. And so you did a great job and you did the right thing. And you established an amnesty, freedom for everyone. And you signed this whole covenant publicly in front of the Beit Midrash. You're going to set the Avadim free. And now you're doing a terrible kill Hashem. And everyone's taking back their slaves, each of Shafkato and their maidservants, Hashem Shachtam, Choshin, and Hashem, that you're already set free. And you've all overpowered and taken them back. And since you didn't listen to me to set them free, so I am going to set you free. In that deal where I protect you and you obey me, fine. We're done. We're now free. And Hashem, I'm going to free you, Ela Cherev. I will free you to the sword, Ela Dever, to the plague, Ela Ra'av, to the famine. And I will make you a Zava, laughingstock to all the nations of the world.
But this is not the land. This is the people. Weren't we saying this Brit, the
Klala? You give them the land. Right. That's saying that the result of this is that I am no longer protecting you in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you are now free, and now you're going to get wiped out by the Babylonians. Right. You're going to all get die of cholera. You're all going to, right? That's the natural. That's what happens naturally if we just let Eretz Yisrael go. Ben Gurion's comment that anyone who doesn't believe in miracles in Israel is not a realist. Okay, the fact that we've got a nation, the fact that you're surviving as a nation there, given its geography and climate, is a net. Hashem says, well, the breach is over, fine. Relicum drawer, you're now free. What's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to get wiped out. That's what's going to happen. Dimitzvenu Hashem, Shishbatimet, Ir Azot. And this is what I command, says the Lord, and the city will be captured, and there'll be fora, and it will be overcome. The Sarfur Ba'esh will be burned in fire, and I will grant the cities of Yehuda destruction, and they will be desolate. And this all comes down, and it doesn't say anything here about Avodah Zarah. This is all about Evid, Bishanim. Mr. Chachman says it goes back to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And what happened to Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Right when Hashem tells Moshe, go to them and tell them, I'm going to take them out. Tell Paro, let my people go. The pasuk is interesting. By the Ber Hashem Moshe Aaron, Hashem told Moshe Aaron, by Tzavim El Bnei Yisrael of El Paro Mitzrayim, and commanded them to go to Bnei Yisrael and to Paro, to take Bnei Yisrael out. That's what Yerushalmi says about that pasuk. Amatzivam, what is he commanding? We know he commanded Paro. What did he command Bnei Yisrael about? It's al pashat shiluach avadim. Their slaves, he told them that you're going to need to send your slaves free. The Mishnah Chachma says, that's because we know what slavery is like. They can. It makes sense. Igam az Mitzrayim. Even when they were in Egypt, there were leaders of people. I show you Sarim, Nechvadim. They were honored leaders. Befratim and rich. And they actually had Israelite slaves. There are reasons to think that Jews do not own slaves. There are blacks who own slaves in the antebellum South as well. All right. Shvadim ben Yisrael, lavadim, shemarcho mitzrim lahem, that they were sold to by the Egyptians. Lachen tiva shem yiparach, shebnei Yisrael, gam paro, that bnei Yisrael as well as paro, yitzio bnei Yisrael mashiba, that they had to let bnei Yisrael go as well. So that was, we left Egypt to become avadim to Akash Baruch Hu. Besides, that's transactional. Yeah, we expect something, both sides have something to offer, and it's exclusive. We can't be avadim to anybody else. For avadim to anybody else, whether to another human being or to the Elohim Achirim, and that's just fucking with it. To that, we serve other gods, and we're saying we're not avadim to Hashem. What Sinai, the British Karata Ta Itam, the Siyala Tamer Tzitzrayim, that is read of we are avadim to Hashem. We get something out of it. That's Eretz Yisrael, that's protection. Hashem gets us acting, serving Hashem, being the carriers of the Shekhinah in the world. So Meshach Chachma concludes, L'chein Yomar, that's what this pasuk, Asher Azu, Brit Hashem Ashpotio Tam Eretz Yisrael. They abandoned the Brit that I made with them when they left Egypt. That especially the Brit of freeing the slaves, which is that whole part sense of Bnei Israel Abadim to Hashem, not to human beings. They cannot be sold at all. They belong to God. Even if they didn't, since they didn't do this, both in the Yirmiyahu sense of enslaving other Jews and the global sense of Abdu Elohim Acharim, serving other gods. They are now kicked out from God's personal protection, called Gimda, like every other nation. What happens to every other nation? They get conquered by bigger, stronger ones. That's what the Tzavim, that's what the later generations are looking at. And it's here in the Tzavim, because this is the Parsha of Tshuva. The next paragraph is the Mitzvah of Tshuva. Hashem is telling us that this deal remains on the table. You can take it back anytime you want. It's true then, it's true now. That's what Shuvah means, that's what we're returning to. And this is the parsha continues, when all these things will happen to you, blessing and curses, that I have now laid before you, this is your option. And you will return in your heart. In whatever nation you've been scattered to, do the tshuva. You return to God. And you'll whatever all that I hand in you today. You and your children with all your heart, all your soul. Then Hashem will bring back your captivity, and have pity on you, and he will return and gather you up from all the nations. And then talks about the choice between you now have a choice between life and death, and you need to choose life. These things I command you today, love God and work in his ways. And obey his commandments, then you will live and you will be fruitful, and God will bless you. In the land of Shat Habasham, in this land there.
You have to put the underline under Ba'aret.
The underline there is to make a textual point. That expression occurs twice in Tanakh.
Oh.
That's a message. Okay? Okay. I didn't see that. Meshach Chag points that out. What's the other place that expression of coming happen all the time? But those particular words happen in one other place. That's talking about the rewards of being an Eved. That the master has to pay an Eved, and your Ivri in the sense of the homeless, the oppressed, your brother is sold to you. And works for 6 years. And the seventh year goes free. Don't feel bad. Do not feel bad at the fact you have to let him free. Because he's basically worked for you twice as hard as a paid servant, paid worker would work.
Wait, we stopped hearing you. Do you hear him?
You hear me?
Now we do.
Yeah. Okay. So Mishnah Chachma says, Misura. Yeah. So Misurek notes on our pasuk, Berach Hashem Okecha, say there are two places. Berach Hashem Okecha here, and Lekshevei Necha, the pasuk by setting slaves free. That's the same berachacha. It's the connection there. It's hinting at the fact that we are the avadim of Hashem and not eved l'avadim. We're not supposed to be servants to servants. That's what the message is here. So in Rosh Hashanah, we invoke two similes that these two sides of the Brit. Hayom marat olam, hayom yamei b'vishvat, kol yitzur alamim. Saying that, right? Im kavanim, im kavanim. Are we like sons? Are we like slaves? Right? We said there's a Brit Ava. That's often the man and wife metaphor, but here we're using the Abu Ben, Avinu Malkenu, whether we're like Banim or like Abadim. Both of those are true. Those are the actual relationship. Im kavanim, rachmenu, karachem al banim, and if we're like children, then pity on us, like father does to his children. That's not conditional. That doesn't break. Im kavadim, and if our relationship is one of abadim, and in el chatzil, we depend on you. Again, we need your protection. We're gonna serve you, so you protect us. We have to seek our b'shvatenu and let our judgment be revealed. Ayam kadosh, O awesome, holy one. That's the two sides. The Brit Abba, the Krachem Abba Banim, it's not a matter of free will. We don't have a choice. You don't choose your family.
Huh.
That's not really something, right? That's not really something that somebody said to Tshuva. It's irrelevant. It's this, what do you call it? The Brit of Na'as Evanishma, the Kavaram Kigid, this deal we have with Hashem. That is our Tshuva. That's, we accept that transaction with the Kabbalah of Chushamayim. That's what we are saying. Hashem is Malkenu. That's what we do in Rosh Hashanah. And say, we need you. We are willing to come back and bring us back both into relationship with you and to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Parshat Nitzavim is all about. So, going to Rosh Hashanah with a expectation of tshuva. And again, from this perspective, tshuva is, it's really a, again, I use the term transactional. We're going to get something. We get something out of it. It's important. And not to dismiss that, to make it just all call it woo-woo. I like that side of tshuva too, but there's more to it.
It's so interesting that you pointed out that it's not all about Avodah Zarah and Avodah Zarah. It's about what? The contract, the relationship, the Eved, the whole Eved thing.
Eved thing.
I mean, it encompasses, right, but yeah. Doesn't mention Elohim Achirim and all that. It's just you and God. Yeah.
Right. We need that. And that's a matter of loyalty.
Yeah.
As opposed to,
I mean, it eventually, of course, about Zara, but so is the Brit Yetziat Mitzrayim the same as Brit Sinai? That's the same one?
Well, I'm saying yes, it's probably the same thing.
Yes. And what is, and that's Har Gerizim? Brit Har Gerizim?
Brit Har Gerizim.
Is Brit Sinai,
right. So that it says that when they came to Eretz Israel, they all went to Shechem, is described in part in part in Kitabo. They did another brief ceremony.
That's
Har Gerizim. And that's the point.
And what's our vote Moav? Which one is our vote Moav? Brit Dar
is
vote
the one
Moav?
At the when their Arba Moav is on the east side of the Jordan. This is what Moshe is describing at the end of Parsha Devarim.
So that's the same as Har Gerizim? That's the same Brit?
No, it's not Har Gerizim. No. Har Gerizim is after they enter. Har Gerizim is inside Eretz Yisrael.
So
which is not there. There are three.
There are three Britot?
Britot, right. It says, when they're about to enter, and then there's Brit HaGrizim, which is after they've already entered.
Okay.
HaGrizim is when the Kosra Arevim Zelazem were guarantors for each other.
Oh.
The key part of that Brit was not so much Brit with Hashem, it's Brit with each other that we are now all in this together. We're now establishing a society.
Oh. And how far apart was in time was Har Gerizim and Arvot Moav?
Day. Like about a year.
Okay.
I mean, it was after, so this parsha is in the month before Moshe dies. Then a month later, they mourn for a month. Then they enter Israel. They pretty quickly conquer Yericho. Then they conquer Ai, which takes a while because they fail the first time. And after those two battles, then they all go and mount to Shechem and they have the ceremony Har Gerizim.
And that pasuk you gave me, not pasuk, whatever, Tichle Hashana. The Kilolotehel. Where is that from? What's the source?
It's in the Gemara, and I should find that. I Googled that. Where is the Gemara talking about? It's got to be Gemara Megillah talking about the reading the Torah. Come on. Megillah Lamed Aleph Amud Bet.
Lamed Aleph 2.
Amud Bet. Gemara Megillah. Hani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra Tikin Lahem Yisrael. That's these particular parts of the Torah that were read were part of the Takara of Ezra. The Ukorian Kolot Shebet Torah Kohanim, that they should read the Kolot in Vayikra, so talk about they should do that before Shavuot, which is Mishnah Torah and the Klalot in Devarim, Kodim Rosh Hashanah. My time, why was established Amar Abaye, Yitim Rav Reish Lakish, because Abaye said the name of Rav Lakish, Deis Etichla Shana
B'Kilotaha. Read the next one. Techel Shana.
So where does that come from?
It's not right there.
Pismon Piyot in the da 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 da. That comes from a piyut that was from the 13th century, from the Academy of Hebrew.
So put it as a quote, right? How do you do that?
Well, as evidently, it is a quote from the piyut. You know, added the second part.
Okay, so who's the Piyut writer or whatever? How could I cite it?